Fantastic job. Thank you very much. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's go right to the message if we can. Just have a few minutes that we can share today. And boy, I was so blessed by Brother Richard's comment and that illustration. What a great illustration of the ducks flying south and knew where they were going. Those who landed in the pond and suffered destruction. But then others who had to just circle and hopefully folks get back in the pathway of doing what God wants you to do. We sure love you, young people. I'm so thankful for every one of you. Thank you for your role in the work of the Lord, especially at this stage of your life. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. When you're young, you want to rejoice, but you want to remember that every work that you do will be brought into evaluation by God. And then remember the Lord while you have the opportunity to do it. I think that's a great admonition today. In the book of 2 Timothy, we have the four challenges, really. Apostle Paul now is no longer in a comfortable apartment or a rented house where he stayed for 2 years. Now he's been released and then rearrested and brought back to the Mamertine prison. Right across the street from there, you'll find the big Colosseum where no doubt people would scream and holler as the lions, and people would come sometimes let loose on them, and they would just entertain themselves by watching people who were criminals or Christians being persecuted be torn apart by hungry lions. As a matter of fact, Apostle Paul said, "The Lord delivered me out of the mouth of a lion." He had already been to court once, and he realized that the time of his departure is at hand. "I've been delivered out of the mouth of the lions once, but I don't know if it's going to happen again." And he writes his young protege, Timothy. He says, "Timothy, do your diligence to get here and hurry up. It's fall. The temperatures are dropping. I left my coat in Troas with Carpus. Would you bring my coat when you come? Would you bring the Bible when you come? And be sure to bring some other reading materials. Bring the books and bring the parchments and come quickly." But if he never got there, Timothy was hoping to get, he wanted Paul to get this to Timothy, this four-part challenge. First of all, chapter 1 was a personal challenge. He reminded him of his mother and his grandmother who loved the Lord and loved him and invested in him. He reminded him of the love the Apostle Paul had for him and others who ordained him into the ministry and laid their hands on him. He told him to stir up the gift. He told him, "God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind." He reminded him not to be afraid or ashamed of the persecutions that sometimes come with God's people. He said he uses the guy Onesiphorus as, "He was not ashamed of my chain, but he inconvenienced himself and sought me out diligently until he found me and helped me and he encouraged me, he refreshed me, and the Lord would reward him for that." In chapter 2, he gives the practical challenge and he says, "Listen, you be a good son and be strong in the graces in Christ Jesus. Be a good soldier, selfless and serving and sacrificial and simple. Don't get caught up with the affairs of this life. Be a good athlete. Be disciplined and play by the rules of the game. No man is going to have a mastery or strive unless he strive lawfully. Be a farmer. Be faithful. Be fruitful." He said, "I want you to be someone who can go through difficult times and suffer but still be faithful and steadfast." He said, "Be a good student. Study to show thyself approved to God. A workman needeth not to be rightly dividing the word of truth." If you don't study, you'll be ashamed. He said, "Don't be a student." Then be clean. Regardless of how God wired you, how he made you, how he's led you, how he has prepared you, all of us have a responsibility to be clean. You can be talented and a waste if you're not clean. He said, "In a big house are many vessels, some to honor, some to dishonor. Some are gold, some are silver, some are wood, some are earth. But what really matters is they're purged. Are they clean?" Because when the master comes in, he wants a clean vessel. And you're no different. If you were looking at a cabinet, you would want a clean cup. God wants clean vessels, and he needs you to be clean. You got to get your eye gate clean and your ear gate clean and your friendships clean and your entertainment clean and your social media needs to be clean. Garbage in is garbage out. He said, "I want you to be clean, to be purged." And then he said, "I want you to be a good servant. The servant of God must not strive. Don't get caught up in striving. You got to be careful about that." And he said, "Be gentle, be kind to people, gracious, even if they're not gracious to you. Be patient. Work through problems with people in meekness, instructing those that oppose himself. Then he goes into chapter 3 and he tells them, it's a perilous day challenge. He said, this know also that in the last days, perilous times are going to come. Difficult seasons are going to come. And there's going to be 18 symptoms of perilous day selfish sins. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, heady, high-minded, lovers of their own selves and pleasures, more than lovers of God, disobedient to parents, unthankful. Really not, as you look at some of those things, they're not like malicious things going chopping people's heads off. Not someone just blowing someone's brains out. It's this unthankful, disobedient to parents, proud, boasters. That's what's in Christianity today sometimes. That's what's in this room. That's what's in my colleagues as pastors and in my life sometimes. But he said the devil will take those selfish sinners and he'll work them through a sensual, wicked environment. Silly women laden with sins that will turn into sensual sins and then will turn into searching sins. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Young people, let me just tell you, be careful what you're listening to. Be careful. Some of you are listening to things on podcasts, philosophers and speakers. They're not even saved. And you're going podcast after podcast. You find some guy who's sideways with really holy living, arrogant, rebellious, sarcastic, cynical, skeptical, and you're listening to hours and hours of this clown telling you his perspective of things. You know what I think you ought to do is get you to the old men. Get you to the great men who have walked the right path. Walk the old path that's trodden. Don't get off in some new age stuff. You don't need a new independent fundamental Baptist. You can just stay the right one. But you won't stay the right one if you start listening to wrong things. 1 Timothy 4, the Bible's very clear. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times some depart from the faith. And friend, that's exactly what God wants us to do is finish faithfully. So anything God wants for me, because a faithful man, a faithful lady will abound with blessing. God wants what I would want for my own children. He wants for me what I want for my kids. I want my kids to finish strong, happy and blessed. What kind of dad wouldn't want that? And who's a better dad than me? Obviously, it's God. And he wants you to finish strong with a blessed life, with blessed relationships, blessed finances, blessed ministry, opportunities. That's the kind of God he is. So anything God wants, the devil wants you to err or depart from the faith. And he is working hard at it. And he'll use, first of all, the first step of getting off the faithful path is giving heed, listening. And we've never been in a society that I know about where there's more voices to listen to than you have right now. But you can handle it. You can do it. You have to decide, you know what? If you just put up a podcast, man, you have more selections than you can ever imagine. And you don't know what they're talking about. You don't know what they're saying. Or your friends say, oh, listen to this person, listen to this lady, listen to this person. And you've got to be so careful. Because, and the Bible reminds us in 1 John, hey, try the spirits and make sure they be of God. And if you don't know them or your friend suggested them and they're wrapped up into that, I'll never forget. I lost 6 months of my young life to bitterness all because a man a little bit older than me brought me over to his house and started giving me, back in the day, cassette tapes that were negative toward authority. Listen to this, John. Come back next week and we'll have a meal together and tell me what you think about it. Here, take these and listen to those. And you know what I heard took me down a 6-month path of really wasted life of John Wilkerson. I mean, I went to church. I gave. I was trying to go soul winning, but I was so messed up between my ears all because you cannot help but speak of the things which you have and heard. So he tells him, listen, you'll be ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But then he transitions to chapter 3, And he says, in a perilous day challenge, you'll have all these selfish sinners, immoral sinners, searching sinners that magnify and think about, oh, this person's real smart, this person's smart. One of the dangers of Calvinism is that it tries to appeal to the intellectual. It makes you feel smarter if you're a Calvinist. You can wear a necklace and be a theologian. You can do things a little bit different. And you can be all of a sudden pride. And boy, the knowledge puffeth up. I'm telling you something. Calvinism is terrible. The idea that God did not pay for the sins of the whole world. How can you read John 3:16 and not understand that? For God so loved the... Yeah. He's the propitiation not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world. He is not willing that any would perish. Well, you start drinking that Kool-Aid and you're not going to be a soul winner. You start believing that, you're not. Why go soul winning? God's going to save whoever he is. He's made some people are going to go to hell, some people are going to go to heaven. If you start buying into that stuff, it's going to change you. And yet some of you, you're struggling. And some of you are not struggling now, but you will be faced with that later. I would encourage you to get that Answers book or Establish in the Faith from Brother Piper. He gives his opinion about that from a biblical perspective, and you can get on the right page on that situation. And you'll side with the soul winners, and you'll be eternally grateful when you stand before God that you're on the right side of that issue. I just do not see a lot of folks going off on the sideways track of that, but here's what happened. There's always a who. You do not read your Bible, reading your Bible, and come up with that kind of fallacies. You know how you find that kind of fallacies? You start listening to some smooth-talking, intelligent person who can articulate things and ask a bunch of dumb questions that create questions about the Bible, about truth, about God. Then you can get all wacky. Some of you don't like to hear this. I want you to listen to it. I want you to, you're gonna go off the deep end and find yourself doing nothing but just going deeper and getting drier. Instead of being productive, soul-conscious servants of the Lord. Be careful what you listen to. Ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But then the Apostle Paul says, now Timothy, here's what this world needs in a perilous day. It needs four things. Number one, it needs someone who has a good testimony. He will tell him in this passage, and we gave talk about this last time and messages about it. He said, look, you have fully known my doctrine, what I believed and what I taught. You have fully known the way I live, my manner of life. You fully known my patience and my long suffering. You fully known my faith and my charity and my persecutions and the afflictions. You knew what I went through. You know, how did Timothy fully know it? Because he could see it. You know what this world needs? You know what the young people in our bus routes need? The people in our church need? You know what your mom and dad need and your teenagers back home need? They need you to live it out. They need me to flesh it out. I had the joy to lead someone to Christ in their living room or in their dining room table last night. And you know, one of the things that's just kind of interesting, but they just said, Pastor, we have been watching you, how you handle stuff, what you do. And we are convinced that if someone's going to tell us this, we'll listen to it from you. See, I've watched some other guys, and some of them look like they're thugs. They got rings. They got dressed to the hilts. They seem like it's all about them. And I'm not trying to butter myself. I'm just saying. He goes, the reason I want to listen to you is because I have watched you. Boy, it's a wonderful thing to try to be a good testimony. Because your sermons whisper, but your life, really loud. Really loud. How you pay your bills, how you take care of your lawn, how you treat your family members, how you take care of your financial problems, how you love people, how sensitive you are with others, how you respond under pressure. All that's your testimony. He said you needed someone with a real life testimony. Number two, you need someone who can really work through hardships and keep going. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Yeah, where there's movement, there'll be friction. I don't think the average new evangelical church has quite the battle that's not reaching people for Christ that you might have. I think it's easier to go to other universities and IU and Purdue and other places, quite frankly, just to get through school. It's easier for them than it is for you. And I've got multiple testimonies of people who went to secular universities and came here to go to college and said, good night. I've had a harder time going through 1 year here than I did through 4 years at Purdue University. And it's not about the academics, though. That can be challenging. It's about all the spiritual oppression. I remember one precious lady sat back there and she said, Pastor, he said, it seems like when I got my degree at the secular university, everybody in the world was for me. Now I'm over here for 1 year and I've got moms and aunts and dads and everybody pulling, sending sharp remarks. And I'm doing more for God. I'm seeing people saved. I'm watching people come on the bus route. It just seems like I'm doing the right things, but I am getting so much negative. Join the club. It's exactly the way God told us it would happen. But verse 14 is where I want to start and stop today. Look at verse 14 and read it out loud with me. Would you please, everyone? But continue thou. One more time. Can we please say it together? Ready? But. The thing this world needs is not only a good testimony and someone that can go through difficult times, they need someone who will continue. The biggest challenge that you and I are going to face is to keep going. It's just challenging. There are so many flashing billboards off the highway of holiness telling you, exit now. Exit now. Come on, get off, get off. Don't keep going. Come on. This is getting crazy. You can't make this stuff up, all the stuff you're going through. And boy, there's going to be lots of exit signs. But continue thou. And this is a dying man talking to a young servant who would have a few more years ahead of him. And he says, please, Timothy, don't quit. Continue doing what you learned, what you saw, what you were instructed to do by the dying saint of God, Paul. Knowing of whom you've learned it. It grieves my heart. I was sitting the other day and watching a young man who had been given so much by a godly pastor. He had been taken to camp. He had been led to Christ. He had been baptized by that pastor. And he took in so much. He came right here to Hiles Anderson College as a result of his pastor's encouragement. He met his beautiful wife, who was led to Christ in Chicago by a bus worker, a colleague in the ministry here, and was at Hiles Anderson College. Met his wife here. But now, all the things that he had received, he's got a different idea now to continue not with biblical, simplistic, Bible, soul-winning, truth, character, standards of holiness. No, no. Now he has a different way. When you watch his church services, you're not going to see conservative. You're not going to see an altar call. You're not going to see baptisms on a regular basis. No, it's the celebration service every week. It's children that look no difference, but they're not bad kids. They have the same spirit of the world, the same attire of the world, the same haircuts of the world. And it's a challenge. It's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for you to continue thou in the things which you've heard and been assured. All of us are going to have to deal with it. Brother Collins will have to decide, I'm going to continue to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Oscar is going to have to do that. Brother Mitchell, I have to decide. I'm 56, but my decision makers are not over. I've got to continue. I remember years ago watching a pastor turn 50. And then begin to watch him, begin to read different books, listen to different things, go to different conferences. All in effort to try to get a larger crowd. As a result, a few years later, he took his keys and handed them over to a new evangelical group that assumed the bills and took his building. Dismissed anyone who disagreed with him and the direction he was going to go ahead and go somewhere else. At the end, He has the keys to a church. He handed over to somebody else. You can drive by that church today, and it's not a soul winning place. I'm not saying no one ever gets saved there. But, you know, it's a change. I want to encourage you, young people, meddle not with them given to continue. You have to decide that for yourself. Brother Richard mentioned it a while ago, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat or the wine that he drank. He's not going to fit into everybody. And by the way, if you have a real strong urge to fit in, you will not continue. Because the Christian life, you have to stand out. You got to be different to make a difference. You got to be different to make a difference. You're going to have to decide, you know, and I can't go around and say, where's the wind blowing? What would make me most popular? What should I go? What should I do? No, you're going to have to, something's inside here a little bigger than that. He said, continue, Timothy, in the things you... What does a perilous day need? It needs someone with a strong, sincere testimony for Christ. It needs someone who's willing to suffer difficult seasons and continue. Steadfast tenure. Keep going. Doing the right thing the right way for the right reason. And don't ever stop. And you do that long enough and you're going to find that God's going to make you impactful in a perilous day. And you won't be a has-been. You will be right there with God's, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Stay where you are, but let me encourage you to talk to the Lord this morning. Could you maybe pray with me, Father, help me to have a good testimony. Help me to endure difficulties with a good spirit. Father, help me to continue in the things which I've heard, which I've learned, and I've been assured of, knowing of whom I've learned them. Every teacher you ever have, every pastor, they on their best day, they're still human beings. They've taught you the Bible. Don't go off on your own path. Continue in the vein that God put you. I think heaven will rejoice, you'll rejoice, Jesus will rejoice, and others will be so grateful. Father in heaven, please, I pray, you would help us. Help me to stay on the right path, doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, for the rest of my life. Help me to finish faithful. Help these young people to finish faithful. If they've got quit on their mind, please, Lord, help them to get that out of there. Help them be careful who they listen to, what they listen to, how much they listen to. Help them, Lord, not to get bored with the basics, but continue in the vein that would glorify you, and then ultimately get the gospel to the ends of the earth. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. Let's stand together.